sincerity in my eyes. "Thank you, baby," he whispers and leans down to kiss my lips.
"Tate got a new job," Logan announces.
"Really?"
Max asks her. Tate blushes prettily. "Yeah, I just got the call yesterday. I start working at a women's shelter in 2 weeks." She smiles.
"A women's shelter?"
My ears perk up.
"Do you mean Safe Zone?"
"Yes.
Do you know it?"
"Yes. I just got approved for a new project to work with them."
"Really?"
Max and Tate say at the same time. I excitedly launch into my pitch, telling them how I had to work so hard to get Dr. Finley to approve my idea to collaborate with Safe Zone and provide medical care to the women and children living there.
"That's amazing," Tate tells me.
"Can I help with this?" Max asks me.
"Of course. It's on the agenda for the next department meeting. I'll have a sign-up sheet for whoever is interested in helping."
"Count me in," he says.
"Great."
I don't know why I'm surprised he wants to help. Max is always taking care of everyone around him. I turn to Tate.
"What will you do at Safe Zone?"
"I'm a social worker," she tells me. We chat some more about the shelter and her new job while the boys start talking about something else, and Candy occasionally giggles at things they say. Tate is so easy to talk to, and we seamlessly move from one topic to the next. I sit back and I realize I'm actually having fun. Max, Logan, and Charlie are hilarious together, and Tate is friendly and smart. The only person I haven't connected with is Candy, but I have a hunch she may not be at the next get-together. I would never have thought I'd fit in with Max's friends, but I really like them.
Max. Tonight is going spectacularly well. I could tell Monica was nervous when we got here, but you wouldn't know it looking at her now. She laughs loudly at Charlie's last joke. I missed what he said, but I'm sure it was something completely immature. He's such a goofball. Everyone is jiving well, except for Candy. The girls don't seem to have much in common with her, which is not surprising, since Charlie usually picks them for their looks and not much else. In my opinion, the size of her boobs can't make up for the annoying giggle that comes out of her mouth every few seconds. Charlie just likes to have fun with women. Monica catches my eye and grins at me. I grin back, so happy my friends got to meet her and she got to meet them. She's so beautiful. Face flushed with laughter, eyes sparkling in the dim light. She leans toward Tate in conversation, and I study the curve of her neck. I know it's soft because I've touched and licked every part of her body. Her long black dress hugs her curves, then sways around her legs, accentuating her full breasts and slim waist. The silver necklace she wears tonight dangles between her boobs, and I wonder how it would look on her with nothing else. Fuck, I'm getting hard just looking at her. I look away and try to figure out how I can end this night early to have her all to myself. Logan meets my eye and smirks. "You've got it bad," he says quietly. I sigh and nod. True story. "I think she has it just as bad," he comments. "Hope so," I tell him. I really hope so because I'm falling for this woman and it scares the shit out of me. Candy giggles and grabs onto Charlie's arm. He looks at me and cringes. He can't stand her giggle either. "You ready to go?" he asks her. I clasp Monica's hand and look at her questioningly, hoping she's ready to go, too. She smiles and nods. Logan, Charlie, and I dig out some money and leave it on the table for Shirley. We make our way outside and stop, just beyond the doors. "Max, are we still shopping tomorrow?" Logan asks me. "That's the plan," I confirm.
"What are you shopping for?"
Candy asks.
"Max is finally going to get his own car," Charlie tells her. I couldn't hide the fact that I didn't have a car from Monica for long, but she didn't bat an eye when I said it was just easier for me to get around with my bike. Monica looks up at me.
"You're going to buy a car?"
"Yes, finally. This way you won't always have to lug me around." "You owe me 6 million rides," Logan complains. "Yeah, yeah. I'll drive you around for the next 5 years, okay?" I tell him. "That sounds good." We walk to the parking lot, and I know the second Charlie spots Monica's car. Too bad you can't get a car like this one.
Charlie whistles at the sight of the black Porsche, and Monica stiffens beside me.
That's a beauty, Logan agrees.
Monica definitely has good taste, I tell them as I drape my arm across her shoulders. Surprised eyes meet mine as Logan and Charlie gawk at me, speechless.
Is this your car?
Candy asks her. Monica nods in response, and I can tell this is making her nervous. She has never once bragged about her car or her wealth. She's the most laid-back, least ostentatious, wealthy person I know. The fact that she even has this car doesn't really fit with her personality, and I don't want this to be a thing that wedges between us, a source of stress for her. She shouldn't be ashamed that she makes good money. She works really hard.
Nice choice, Logan recovers.
You fucker! You never told us Monica has a Porsche, Charlie exclaims.
He happens to have an obsession with cars. Everyone gathers around Monica's car in the parking lot while Charlie caresses the roof lovingly.
What does it matter? I ask him. You never mentioned what kind of car Candy has either.
I have a Mini Cooper,
Candy informs me with a giggle. Thank you, Candy. I really didn't want an answer, but whatever. Charlie rolls his eyes at me.
Dude, your girlfriend's car is giving me a boner. I can't believe you get to drive in this thing.
He pushes me out of the way and grabs Monica's hand.
Monica, he says seriously, I think you should bang me instead. Did you know Max is a male nurse? That's so not sexy. I'm way sexier than him. I'm a photographer.
Charlie, what the fuck, man?
I step between them and pull Monica to my side. She laughs at Charlie's antics and wraps her arms around my waist, hugging me close.
I didn't even pick this car out, actually, she tells us. It was a gift from my dad. To be honest, I've been thinking about selling it.
It makes sense to me now. Her dad seems like the type to buy her a car that makes a statement.
What?
Charlie grabs his chest like he may have a heart attack.
Why would you get rid of this car?
It's not really my style. And my dad and I don't really get along. Every time I get in it, it makes me think of him, so I was going to go shopping for a new car, too.
Really? I ask her. Well, we're probably not going to the same car dealership, but do you want to go shopping for cars tomorrow?
Wait, Charlie interrupts. How are you going to sell this car?
She shrugs. I don't know. I haven't gotten much further than deciding to get rid of it. I'll likely just store it in my garage until I figure it out.
Oh, my God. My boner is twitching right now. I would love to buy this car from you, Charlie says.
Fuck, Charlie, please stop talking about your boner, Logan tells him.
Fuck you, dude. Are you seeing this car? I can't believe she wants to get rid of it.
Charlie buying Monica's car just seems like a horrible idea. I do not want to be in the middle of that.
Okay, Mr. Boner, calm down. You are not buying Monica's car, at least not tonight anyway. I tell him.
He sighs deeply.
We're going to talk about this more tomorrow, he tells Monica.
Sure thing, buddy. Good night, boys and girls, I tell everyone.
We exchange hugs with everyone and get into Monica's car.
I'm sorry about Charlie asking to buy your car. You do not have to sell it to him.
She chuckles. I know I don't have to sell it to him, but if he wants to make me an offer, he can. She pulls out of the parking lot and starts to drive. Are we going to my place or yours? She asks. I love that she assumes we will go home together.
Whichever you want. Tomorrow I need to be back at my place around 1 to meet up with Logan.
Okay, your place is closer.
Works for me. So, did you have fun tonight?
She beams.
I did.
See, I told you there was nothing to be nervous about.
You did.
Charlie is a bit of a goof. I hope she wasn't offended by all his talk of banging and boners.
He's hilarious.
Joking aside, Charlie is one of my oldest and closest friends. Logan, too.
I can see that. My friend Quinn is the same way. She's a bit crazy, but she's been my friend for so long. We can go months without talking, yet when we see each other, it's like no time has passed.
The mention of a friend perks my ears up. I get the feeling Monica doesn't have a lot of friends. So I'm glad to hear she has someone.
Did you tell Quinn about me? I ask her.
She blushes.
You did, didn't you?
I may have mentioned that we are seeing each other, she admits.
I'm so relieved to hear she has told someone in her life about us. After 2 months, I am beyond ready to stop hiding so much. I understand her concern about work, but my biggest fear is that she is ashamed of me, that she wants to keep me a secret forever. We said we were exclusive, and thank fuck for that, because I can't handle the thought of her sleeping with someone else. But am I just a fling? My stomach clenches at the thought. I think back to the supply room. She told me I make her feel safe, that she only wants to be with me, but just thinks it's too soon to go public at work. I need to be patient. Tonight was so fun, and I don't want to push for answers I might not like. I need to get my thoughts off this train before my mood sours. Thank you for meeting my friends, I tell her.
Thank you for introducing me.
We settle into a comfortable silence for the rest of the drive. Looking around the interior of the car, I feel a twinge of sadness at Monica's decision to get rid of it. So you really want to sell this car and get a new one? She sighs.
This is just another symbol of my dad trying to control my life. Don't get me wrong, it was a very generous gift, which is why I didn't return it sooner, but it just makes me think of him.
She shrugs. I bet we could make you associate something better with this car. It's been forever since I had sex in a car, but the thought of Monica riding me in her Porsche is hot.
Oh?
She pulls into the parking lot of my apartment building.
What did you have in mind?
She bites her lip. Why don't you park over there? I point to a secluded section of the lot, away from traffic. I'll show you. Once parked, I lean across the console and kiss her. I cannot get enough of her mouth, my fingers tangling in the hair at the base of her neck as I hold onto her. She moans, and the sound makes my erection harden. I shift, trying to get into a more comfortable position, but I'm a tall guy, and this car, though luxurious, is not very spacious. Why don't you come over here? I lower my seat a bit and motion for her to climb on top of me.
Max,
she admonishes. Yes? I smile innocently, like it would be totally normal to have her straddle me.
You really want to have sex in my car in your parking lot?
She looks out the windows. No one is around. Besides, the windows are tinted, and I seem to remember our bucket list involving public sex. We need to start checking some things off. I give her my most charming smile.
What if we get caught?
No one is going to catch us, I reassure her, but she's not convinced. I reach for her hand and bring it to my crotch, letting her feel how much I like this idea. She squeezes me through my pants and my cock jerks at the contact. I lean forward and kiss her again, breathing in her scent. I can't help but rock my pelvis against her hand. We can be fast.
How romantic,
she chuckles, but her hand is still on my dick, moving up and down, tracing the shape of my erection. I couldn't stop staring at you tonight. You look so beautiful. She chuckles and rolls her eyes.
You just want to have sex with me in my car.
Well, yes, I do, but I really was staring at you. This dress is amazing. It's so soft it makes me want to touch you, though my favorite part of your outfit is this necklace. I trace the path of the long chain, starting at her collarbone, down the soft skin on her chest, the swell of her breast, just to the left of her nipple, where the necklace ends beneath her breastbone, then up the other side. Her nipples harden at my touch, and I hear her breathing quicken. I want to see this necklace against your bare skin, I admit, my voice low with arousal. I kiss her again. Her mouth is so addictive. When she moves to climb over the center console, I smile against her lips. I help her over, and she settles her legs on either side of my lap. She pulls up her long dress, and it bunches around her waist. The new position brings her chest right in front of my face. Perfect. I reach up and inch her neckline down over her breasts, exposing first one nipple, then the other. The fabric settles under her breasts, and I take a moment to look at her. The smooth silver loops of the chain dangle between full round breasts with pretty pink nipples. They sway gently, and I'm hypnotized. I groan at the sight. Look at how perfect you are. I hold on to the sides of the chain and move it against her skin. The metal is cool, and it makes her skin pebble with goosebumps. I inch it over to the right until it catches on her nipple and she gasps at the contact. I rub it, back and forth, hypnotized by the sight of her nipple getting harder. Then I do the other side, stimulating her nipples with the necklace that has been driving me insane all night. My mouth is salivating, and I can't wait one more second to taste her. Leaning forward, I lick one nipple, then the other, biting, flicking. I relish the moans and gasps she makes with each touch. My hands glide up her thighs while my mouth lavishes attention on her breasts, and I find that she isn't wearing any underwear. This woman is going to kill me. You weren't wearing any underwear this whole night. First no bra, then no underwear. She bites her lip and shakes her head. I reach between her legs and find her wet. We both groan at the contact, and I rub my fingers over her, making sure she is ready. I want you to ride me, Monica. Even in the dark, I can see how aroused she is, her hair tangled from my fingertips, her lips swollen from my kisses, and her eyes heavy-lidded. She nods, trying to unfasten my jeans. We shift a bit awkwardly due to the small space, but she manages to lift up while I locate my wallet, pull out a condom, shove my pants down my legs, and put the condom on. She settles back on my lap, reaching down to guide my cock to her entrance. Ever so slowly, she sinks down on my erection, and I close my eyes in bliss. Oh, God, she moans when she sinks all the way down. I wrap my arms around her upper body and pull her down toward me so I can kiss her. I focus on staying still so she can get used to my size, but my dick is throbbing and I need to move. I thrust up ever so slightly, testing to see if she is ready. She braces her arms on the back of my seat and starts to lift herself up. Yes, up and down, she lowers and lifts, pulling almost completely off, then sinking all the way down. Fuck yes. You feel so good, I tell her. Her breasts bounce in front of my face and I clasp them in my hands, bringing them to my mouth so I can play with them while she rides me. Her nipples are so sensitive and my attention is rewarded with the sweetest sounds. She closes her eyes and her movements speed up as she chases her pleasure. I thrust up to meet her, sinking my movements to match hers. This whole scene is a fantasy come to life. A gorgeous woman bouncing on my cock while sitting in a Porsche. And not just any gorgeous woman. Monica, my goddess. My orgasm starts to surface and it's barreling full speed ahead. Fuck, Monica. I'm going to come. I pull up her dress so I can see where we are connected. Reaching down, I circle her clit, trying to push her over the edge. My mouth finds hers and we kiss sloppily, too far gone to do anything other than touch our mouths and tongues together while we pant. Her movements stutter and she starts to come, moaning into my mouth. I swallow up her sounds and stop holding my orgasm at bay. I come hard, my cock pulsing with my release. Monica slumps forward, melting into my body, and I wrap my arms around her as we recover. I gather her hair away from her face and run my fingers through it, combing the long strands. She sighs contentedly as I play with her hair, and I want to stay in this moment forever.
Chapter 12. I'm in awe of those women. Monica. Safe Zone is a large dormitory-style building that houses up to 50 women and children at a time. The first floor has a spacious common area with a living room, game room, and dining room. There is also a classroom where they hold presentations for the women, such as a teaching a skill like self-defense or exploring job opportunities. The upper levels have private rooms with one, two, or three beds, attached bathrooms, and closets. The women staying here all get assigned a case manager and have access to legal counsel, community services, and assistance in building a resume and finding a job. They all pitch in to help with different aspects of living,
Some work in the kitchen, some do laundry, some babysit the kids while women go on interviews. The goal is to give women in an unsafe relationship a place to go regroup and start a new life. The only thing missing is health care. Simone Jones, the director of Safe Zone, is someone I met in college. I was on track to go to medical school, and she was set to pursue law. After painfully witnessing her sister stay in an abusive relationship because she had two little kids and no job, Simone was determined to help other women in similar circumstances. She contacted me about a year ago to see if I could help fill the gap of health care in the services offered at Safe Zone. I loved the idea of helping these women and children after all they've been through. I thought about just volunteering myself, but ended up approaching the board of directors at the hospital to see if we could make this an official collaboration. I went through way more red tape and paperwork that way, but I was able to reach out to other departments and was floored to discover how many people want to help. If all goes as planned, we hope to provide services every day of the week and add two exam rooms to the first floor. For the time being, however, we're starting with Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., with a physician and nurse, and Simone designated two empty offices as makeshift exam rooms for us to use. It isn't going to be a full-service clinic. There's only so much I can do without an exam bed, the support of a lab, and other services, but I can order anything needed, and they can go to the hospital to get these tests done, if it comes to that. We do have a glucometer, a blood pressure machine, and vaccines. Once we work the kinks out and see what the demand is, we'll add more time and invest in making official exam rooms. My secretary went through the volunteer sign-up sheet and created a schedule for the doctors and nurses, and by some miracle, she assigned Max to be my nurse on the first day. I will have to compliment Gina for something totally unrelated later. Despite working with Max most days and sleeping with him most nights, I can't seem to get enough of him. Knowing he will be with me today helps to settle any first-day jitters. We drive together in Max's new car, and Tate meets us when we check in. We've texted each other many times since meeting at O'Malley's. "Hey, guys." Tate greets us, each with a hug and a smile. "I can't believe I get to see you both in work mode." She motions for us to follow her down the hall. "You too, Tate," Max tells her. "How do you like working here?" "It's amazing. There is so much work to be done, but I love helping these people." We reach the first office, and she shows us the room. "Well, this is it. The supplies you had shipped are in these cabinets, one box in each room, and you can plug your laptops in right over here." She gestures around the room. "What do you think? Will this work?" The offices are not perfect, but they will have to do for now. "We can make it work," I tell her. "Do you have the schedule?" "Here you go. Everyone will wait in the hall. I set up some chairs outside the offices. The ladies are so grateful to have you here. I'm just glad it's finally happening. It took longer than I thought to get to this point." "Are we still on for lunch when you guys are done?" she asks us.
"We're planning on it," Max tells her.
"Okay, I'll leave you to it. I'll be in my office at the end of this hall. Let me know if you guys need anything." She retreats with a wave. Max and I start organizing our spaces to work. We brought two laptops, a digital monitor on wheels that measures vital signs, and a thermometer. Max will meet with each patient first, register them in our system, ask why they came to see us today, take vital signs, and then hand them off to me. As he bends down to get something, I admire his strong, lean shoulders and firm ass. He moves like an athlete, almost graceful. His face furrows in concentration, and I want to touch his forehead to smooth out the lines. He looks up and catches me watching him.
"See something you like, Dr. Morgan?"
He quirks an eyebrow up at me.
Why does it turn me on to hear him call me that?
"Don't blush," I order myself. I've done all kinds of naughty things with this man. I should be able to admire his backside and not blush when he catches me. Though it is nice to be able to work together outside the hospital, where we have to be so careful not to show our familiarity with each other. "I do." There, I can be bold. His lips turn up in a sexy grin, and I feel the force of it down to my toes.
A knock at the door prevents us from any more flirting, and we turn to find Simone smiling at us.
"Hey, Monica," she says. "Simone, I didn't think you would be here today."
I walk over and give her a hug. "This is Max Spencer. He'll be working with me today." Max smiles politely and shakes her hand.
"Nice to meet you, Max," she greets.
"Are you guys about ready?"
"We're good to go,"
I tell her.
"Great. Now, we don't have any kind of system to check people in yet, so they will just sit here at their appointment time. If someone doesn't show up, just move on to the next person. I'm sure a few people may try to walk in, and I've warned them that they may not get seen today."
"No worries. Max and I can handle this. We're used to the hustle and bustle of the ER." I think I could handle just about anything with Max at my side. Our first patient arrives, and then our second. After a couple of visits, we develop a system. Max goes in first, gets things started. Then, while I examine that patient, he puts the next person in the other room and gets them started. When I'm done with the first patient, I move right into the next room. He takes a brief history, and his notes help tremendously. The first hour goes by quickly, and we treat two sinus infections, a sore throat, and a twisted ankle. Nothing too tricky. As I wait in the hall for Max to tell me about the next patient, I read on my schedule that it is a 4-year-old named Lucy who needs to get stitches removed. As I wonder why she needed stitches in the first place, I hear a little girl start to cry in the office.
"No, Mommy, don't let him touch me,"
a little voice shrieks. Seconds later, Max comes out of the office, a serious expression on his face. "What happened?" I ask him. He pulls me into the other empty office and shuts the door. He puts his hands behind his head, curling his fingers in his hair, and looks up to the ceiling. Blowing out a deep breath, he meets my eyes, so somber, maybe even pissed off. "Lucy Reed is your next patient, a 4-year-old girl who needed stitches after she was punched in the face by her drunk father. I don't think this was the first time he hit her either, as she is scared shitless of me. I tried to take her temperature, but she cowered away from me and didn't want me to touch her." My stomach drops at the thought. I had a feeling some of the patients would need care after being physically abused, but it doesn't make it any easier to deal with. Max stares down at the floor, his face pinched with regret and anger. I walk up to him slowly and touch his shoulder. "Hey, you okay?" I ask gently. "Wait until you see her, Monica. She's so tiny. How could a grown man punch a little girl? Why?" "I know, it's hard to see domestic violence, but that's why everyone living here is in this situation. We get to help make their lives better, even if we're just a tiny part of the process." I hug his back, leaning my head against his arm as I wrap my arms around his waist. "Yeah, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. I'm a man. It's a wonder any of these people will talk to me at all after what the men in their lives have done to them." He sighs, disgusted. I step in front of him and meet his gaze. "Max, if I thought for one second you weren't the perfect person to help out here, I wouldn't have accepted your offer to volunteer. You are exactly what these people need in their lives. A kind, gentle man. A man who helped raise his two little sisters when he wasn't that much older than them himself. A man that still, to this day, goes grocery shopping for his mom. A man that packs me an extra sandwich because half the time I forget to feed myself. If you aren't the embodiment of a caring man, then I don't know who is." He sighs again and hugs me. "Thank you." He mumbles into my hair. "I just want to find Lucy's father and punch him in the face, see how he likes it." "You and me both. But that won't help Lucy. We can't change what they've already been through. It's done. I'm just glad they are out of harm's way now." I disentangle myself and kiss his lips, softly. "I'm going in there. Want to come with me?" "Not sure what's best for Lucy right now. You go ahead. I'll get a stuffed animal out of the box for her."
"Good idea."
I knock softly and enter the exam room. A slim blonde woman is sitting on one of the chairs facing the desk, holding a blonde girl in her lap. Lucy has stopped crying, but she's clinging to her mom with her face buried in her chest. The woman is hugging her close, and silent tears fall down her face. I remove my stethoscope and white doctor's coat, drape them over the desk chair, and approach the mother and child. Hi, I'm Monica. I smile at the woman and sit beside her instead of across from her on the other side of the desk. She swallows hard, brushes her tears away, and gives me a watery smile. I'm Samantha Reed. This is my daughter, Lucy. She pats Lucy's back, but the little girl just burrows closer into Samantha's chest, holding on tight. Hi, Samantha. Hi, Lucy. Nice to meet you. No movement from Lucy. It says here that we're going to take your stitches out today, Lucy. How does that sound?
No,
a muffled voice tells me. Come on, sweetie. Dr. Morgan is going to take the stitches out. Samantha tries to coax her daughter to let go of her, but those tiny arms are not budging. Samantha, why don't you tell me about Lucy's stitches? Any problems?
Not really. She mentioned they were a bit itchy, but that's about it.
And she's had them in for how long? I ask.
Just a little over a week.
She replies. Perfect. She should be ready to get them out. Lucy, are you ready to show me? I promise this will be fast. No response. Samantha sighs.
Please, Lucy, can you turn around?
She's exasperated. You know what? I'll be right back. I forgot to get something from my friend Max. I have an idea of how to get Lucy to open up.
Max. Monica comes back into the office, and I haven't moved since she left. Seeing that sweet little girl bruised by the hand of her father made me feel physically ill. How's Lucy? I ask her.
Well, she won't show me her face. She's latched onto her mother and has her face buried in her mom's chest, but I have an idea.
She looks inside the cabinet for the box of stuffed animals. What?
Do we have a suture kit?
She asks me. I laid out the suture removal kit in the room already, I tell her.
No, not a removal kit. A kit to place stitches.
Why do you need that? She waves a sock monkey in the air.
We're going to give this stuffed animal stitches, and Lucy can help us take them out.
Good idea. When my little sister Ella broke her arm in second grade, the doctor gave her a teddy bear with a matching cast.
Exactly. Come on, help me with the supplies. Show me where Lucy's cut is so I can put the stitches in the same spot.
I locate the supplies and point out the location of Lucy's stitches, and then Monica places some large stitches on the sock monkey's face. We grab a second suture removal kit to use on the stuffed animal and make our way back to the other exam room. Are you sure I should go in there? I don't want to scare anyone. The look of fear on that little girl's face in reaction to me is not something I will forget anytime soon.
Take off your lab coat and stethoscope and sit on the floor in front of the desk. You're tall, so it will probably help if you come down to her level.
Okay. I take off my lab coat and put it away, leaving me looking a bit more informal in my blue t-shirt and jeans. I doubt it makes me look any less manly, though. Monica knocks softly and we enter the room again. Lucy and Samantha sit in the same position I left them in a few minutes ago.
I hope you don't mind, Monica says gently. But Max and I are going to take care of my friend Coconut first.
She holds up the stuffed animals, and Samantha's eyes light up.
Lucy, look at Coconut,
the mom whispers to the little girl.
Uh-uh.
Lucy is not interested. Monica and I sit on the floor in front of the desk, right by their chair. I sit cross-legged and cradle Coconut in my lap.
Coconut,
Monica says to the stuffed animal in an exaggerated voice.
Are you ready to get these stitches out?
Oh, yes, Dr. Morgan.
I play along in a little kid voice. I end up sounding like Kermit the Frog, but who cares?
These stitches are so itchy. Get them out of me, please.
Monica stifles a giggle, and we notice Lucy turn her head just ever so slightly.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to clean the stitches. Then I'm going to take my teeny tiny scissors and cut them off.
What?
I exclaim in my play voice.
You're going to cut them? I don't want you to cut them.
I make the little monkey dance around so Lucy can hear it flopping all over the place. She turns her head even more so that one eyeball can peek over at us.
Well, Coconut, I have to cut them so I can get them out of your skin. But I didn't like it when the stitches went in my skin.
I shake the monkey's head side to side.
I promise it won't hurt as much to take them out, Monica says reassuringly. Does Coconut really have stitches?
A tiny voice asks. I keep still, hoping she will turn all the way around.
Yes, she does. Take a look.
Monica gestures to the monkey in my lap. Lucy peers down at me. I smile and make no sudden movements so I don't scare her. She scopes out the monkey, and I watch Monica take stock of her face. Her left eye and cheek are covered with yellowing bruises. A laceration stretches from her eyebrow to her temple, and a row of black stitches runs down it. My heart crumples all over again, and I fight to keep my face friendly and open. Monica doesn't react at all, her experience shining through at this moment. I know this has to affect her, but she doesn't let it show. Slowly, I hold Coconut up to Lucy.
You have stitches just like me,
I squeak in my play voice.
Maybe we can get our stitches out together.
Lucy fingers her own stitches and looks at her mom.
Coconut has stitches too,
she tells her quietly.
I see that.
How about this? Monica says.
If you help us take out Coconut stitches and you let us take out your stitches, then you can have Coconut.
Her bright blue eyes widen and a hint of a smile forms on her lips.
I can have Coconut? Like forever?
That's right. Monica smiles.
Okay.
She gets down from her mom's lap and approaches slowly. She has one hand on her mom's leg but takes a brave step toward me.
Can you make Coconut talk again?
I smile wide. This little girl is so brave. Tate, Monica, and I decide to go to lunch at the Que Pasa, the place we went before we went salsa dancing the very first time.
So, how did it go?
Tate asks us.
Really well, Monica says, beaming.
Our schedule was full, and we even saw some extra people that walked in.
I'm so glad you and Simone made this happen. Safe Zone really needs it, Tate says.
I rub Monica's back and kiss her cheek. I'm so proud of her.
What did you think of it, Max?
Tate asks me. I'm in awe of those women. Half of me wants to take down names, go find the assholes that treated them badly, and beat the shit out of them. The other half wants to stand guard at the door, just in case anyone tries to hurt them again. I flex my muscles, just thinking about it. My protective side was definitely out in full force today.
I know how you feel. There's a big difference between knowing domestic violence exists and seeing the people it happens to,
Tate says. I nod. Exactly. Little Lucy got to me the most. Just remembering her bruised face makes my heart squeeze.
Such a sad case, but we're helping her now. Everyone at Safe Zone has access to a therapist and legal services, so she'll get better.
Monica squeezes my upper leg and leans into my side.
You did a great job today, Max. Really great, she tells me. I'm amazed you guys can work together so well,
Tate comments.
Logan and I might strangle each other if we work together.
Monica and I look at each other and smile. I think we work really well together, too, but I'm interested in hearing what she has to say about it.
I was worried about it at first, Monica admits. But I really like working together. It helps that you're so good at your job. I'd rather work with you than any of the other nurses.
Oh, you. You don't have to flatter me to get into my pants, I joke.
And what about your coworkers? Is everyone cool with you two dating?
Of course, Tate has to bring this up. Keeping our relationship a secret at work is the thing that drives me the craziest. Monica looks at me for help, but she made this decision all on her own. I would rather tell everyone and just get it over with. Until she stops hiding us, I'm afraid we aren't real. I nod to her, signaling that she's on her own to explain this one.
Well, that's a bit tricky, she hedges. When we first started seeing each other, I didn't want to make it a thing at work, a scene for everyone to watch and gossip about. That's understandable. But what about now? Does anyone know yet?
Tate looks at me questioningly. I try to mask how much this bothers me, but she knows me too well.
No. Max is being so patient with me.
She glances at me warily.
I'm just afraid of what management will think. Although I'm not his direct supervisor, I am the director of the department. I don't want either one of us to get any flack at work for being together.
Holy shit. You're the director of the department? Tate's eyes widen.
Max, how come I didn't know about this?
Her reaction is not helping. It's exactly what Monica doesn't want to happen. I really don't see what the big deal is, I say sharply. This conversation needs to go in a different direction before my mood nosedives.
Okay, okay.
Tate holds up her hands, placating me.
Just, I wish you luck that it goes smoothly whenever you do decide to go public at work.
I smile at her gratefully.
So, Monica, are you going to the fundraiser at the Grand Ballroom next weekend?
Tate asks her, changing the subject. I'm not sure this one is any better. I don't like the idea of Calvin or whatever the fuck his name is being anywhere near Monica.
I am,
Monica confirms.
Are you?
Me too,
Tate tells her.
Logan and I were going to go, but Logan can't make it. His dad needs his help with something that weekend, so he'll be out of town. I have an extra ticket.
Can I buy the ticket off of you? I ask Tate. I'd like to be there. The tickets were sold out by the time I looked into it, but I want to go to support Monica. I know how emotional this night will be for her, and I don't want her to have to face her father alone. Or Calvin.
Of course, Tate says with a smile. You can have it.
Perfect.
Chapter 13. Is there anything on your desk you need to move? Monica. I look at the clock and sigh. It's late and everyone else in this hall has gone home, but I had piles and piles of paperwork in my office, and staying late tonight helped me catch up. My cell phone chirps, alerting me to a new text message. Max. Are you done working? Me. Yes, I'm just about done. Max. Still in your office? Me. Yes. Max. Can I come keep you company? Me. Sure. Max. Be there in 10. Max got off of work a couple hours ago, but I heard him talking with Kevin, Julie, and some of the others about grabbing a bite to eat after work. They must have gone someplace close if he's headed back this way. I admit I was disappointed at the thought of not seeing him tonight. We didn't have plans, so I had no right to feel that way. But knowing he wants to see me now makes me happy. His knock surprises me, even though I was expecting him. Come in, I call out. He opens the door and steps inside. A white shirt paired with jeans shouldn't look so sexy, but he wears them well. His eyes sparkle as he smiles at me. Dr. Morgan, shouldn't you be done with work at this hour? I get up and stretch, my body stiff from sitting at my desk the last couple of hours. Yes, but I needed to catch up on this stuff. He watches me stretch, looking from my arms held up high over my head to my arched chest, down to my stomach peeking out from under my shirt, finally landing at my feet up on tiptoes. An innocent stretch suddenly feels like something more, and I see the look in his eyes change from appreciation to hunger. Smoldering blue eyes meet mine, and that look wakes my body up. I didn't see anyone in any of the other offices, he observes. I swallow. No, I think everyone has gone home. He turns to my door and locks it. The sound of the lock is loud and makes my heart rate accelerate. What are you doing? He walks toward me with a gleam in his eye and a small, sexy smile on his face. I can't stop thinking about your dream. My dream? We can't have sex at work, Max. An exam room in the ER would be way too risky, he agrees. But here in your office, down a deserted hallway, with your door locked, I don't see how anyone could catch us. He has a point.
I'm standing with my back to my desk, and he's right in front of me. He crowds me in so my butt hits the edge of my desk, and our chests touch. I have to crane my neck to look up at him as he towers over me. He meets my eyes, and the look on his face is full of desire. Is there anything on your desk you need to move? On my desk? I figure it's a good substitute for an exam bed. Oh. Butterflies take flight in my belly as I turn to look at my desk and find it surprisingly clear. I close my laptop and slide it into the drawer. Once the drawer closes, he presses in behind me, and I feel his erection dig into my back. My core clenches at the feel of him, so hard already. His hands slide up my arms to rest on my shoulders. Slight forward pressure causes me to bend over my desk, and I reach out to brace myself on its surface. Oh my. He leans in to whisper in my ear, "Did I strip you naked or keep your clothes on?" "What? In your dream," he clarifies. "Did I strip you naked?" He expects me to talk right now. You just pulled down my pants. His hands go to the waistband of my pants and start tugging them down. When they rest halfway down my thighs, he stops. "Like this?" "Yes," I say breathily. The scrape of his jeans on my naked butt makes me shiver. His hands caress my hips and ass. Then he backs up a step and I can feel his gaze on me. Fingers spread my cheeks open, and I blush at his blatant perusal. The cold air against my sex makes me aware of how exposed I am. "Monica, I need to taste you. Did I lick you in your dream?" His voice is a deep rumble. My breathing ratchets up, the sound filling the room.
Yes.
"Bend forward and spread your legs." It's a command. My legs are starting to shake, so it's a relief to rest my upper body against the surface of the desk. I spread my legs as far as I can with my pants around my thighs. I imagine what we look like right now, in my office with my pants pulled down, bent over my desk, ass on display, while Max is behind me, fully clothed, taking his time to look his fill. He's torturing me, and my arousal increases with every second that ticks by.
"Max," I pant.
"Yes, Monica." His voice is deep, husky, full of sex.
"Please."
I need him to do something. My ass cheeks are spread apart, and I feel his breath on my pussy. Oh, God. His face is mere inches away from my lady bits. All of the lights are turned on, so I know he can see everything. Fucking hell. I need him to touch me, lick me, something. I arch my back, attempting to expose myself to him even more for easier access. He chuckles quietly. "Someone is a little impatient. Someone is torturing me." I pout. My complaint is cut off by a single swipe of his tongue, starting from my clit and licking slowly up to my opening, then up even farther still to my asshole. I clench, startled at the sensation, immediately wanting him to do it again. This is just like my dream, except it's better because he does it again and again. Slow strokes of his tongue, up and down, create wet, slippery friction against my clit, but not too much pressure there. He remembers how sensitive I am. My nipples tingle, trapped beneath my clothes. His grip on my ass tightens, pulling my cheeks even farther apart. And I feel so dirty being on display for him like this. He moans into my flesh, the vibrations making me even hotter for him. I feel my orgasm starting to build. "You taste so good, Monica." "Fuck." My pussy starts to flutter, orgasm fast approaching now, but I need something, I need more. "Max, please." I don't even know what I'm asking for. Then I feel it. A finger trails down my crease and rests on my asshole. Oh, God. The feel of it there makes me clench again.
I have never wanted anyone to touch me there before. It's gross. I want to think of it as gross. It should be gross. But Max sucks my clit into his mouth, taps my asshole, and I stop thinking altogether. Sounds escape my mouth, and I have no sense of how loud I'm being. His finger leaves for a moment, dipping down into my wetness, and then dragging up over my pucker, making it slippery. Oh, fuck. His finger pushes inside me, and his attention to my clit intensifies as he licks and flicks and sucks and nibbles. The sensation of something being back there is so different, but I'm surprised at how much it adds to my arousal. I moan, louder than I should. I look up at my office door, still closed. It's locked, I remind myself. No one can come in here and see me like this, with Max licking my pussy and fingering my ass. Oh my God, he's fingering my ass. And it feels good. My eyes can no longer stay open as blinding pleasure builds up. One sharp pull of my sensitive clit into his mouth, one more intense push of his finger into me, and I fall apart. My muscles clench around his finger, and it's so strange that I never noticed how sensitive that part of me is before. He slows his licks, pulling every last shudder out of me. Then he stands abruptly, and I hear him undoing his pants. His movements are frantic and purposeful. "I need to be inside you," he grunts. "I need you inside me." I agree. He pauses for a second, fumbling for something. He's getting a condom, I think, and I know I don't want him to use one. I'm clean, he's clean, and I'm on birth control. "Max." I find the strength to lift my head up off the desk and turn to look at him. He's trying to get his wallet out of his pants, but they are bunched up at his knees. "Just a second, baby. Stop, Max. I want you, Bear." He stills, his wild blue eyes meeting mine, questioning my sincerity. I love the look on his face. He's desperate to fuck me. "You want to go without a condom?" "Yes," I whisper. My eyes are drawn to his cock. It's so hard, the tip is purple, glistening with pre-cum. "I'm clean and I'm on birth control." Indecision flickers in his expression. I muster up the courage to tell him what I want. "I want you to come inside of me. I want to feel your skin against my skin." Then I resume my bent over position, rest my head against the desk, spread my legs as far as I can, and wait for him to fuck me.
Max. Holy shit, she wants me bare. Bare. I have never had sex without a condom before. I never wanted to risk an accidental pregnancy or a disease. But I trust Monica, and I really want to fuck her bare. Her slit is wet, glistening with her arousal and my saliva. I close my eyes, take a deep breath, and decide I want this as much as she does. The vision of Monica Morgan, bent over her desk with her pants down just far enough for me to see her desire, waiting for me to fuck her in her office. It's unreal. I stop fumbling for my wallet and let my jeans bunch down around my knees. Her legs are trapped by her pants, but I'm able to step in between her feet. I spread her cheeks again, giving me a better view of her most intimate parts. Fuck. I just fingered her ass, and she liked it. The thought is enough to make me come, and I don't want this to end before it begins. Cock in hand, I rub it up and down against her, coating myself in her desire. She moans and wiggles. Wet sounds fill the room, and it makes me even more desperate to get inside her. Lining up, I push in, slowly. Fuck, I grunt, sensations assaulting me. She is so wet and ready for me, but I wasn't prepared for just how good it would feel without a condom. I never want to use one again. She feels amazing. So fucking good. My orgasm starts to approach already, but I refuse to come so fast. Grabbing her hips, I pull out and thrust back in. Monica, this feels... I can't find any words. Instead, I moan and groan in pleasure. Max, she whispers. I need to be deeper. In and out I fuck her, pulling her hips back to meet me. The sounds of sex fill the room, loud, wet, obscene. I love every whimper escaping her. The slippery friction against my shaft feels so good, and my orgasm threatens to take over. Looking down at my dick disappearing inside her doesn't help my control. It's better than any porn I've ever watched. My cock glistens, wet with her arousal, and her ass fills my hands, bouncing from the force of my thrusts. My gaze wanders to her pucker. I want to fuck her there one day. From the way she liked my finger, I bet she would like that too. My dirty, sexy goddess. I touch her asshole and she clenches. Oh, fuck. The feel of her muscles clenching around my cock almost makes me come on the spot, but I need her to come with me. Pulling her cheeks wide apart, I slow my thrust so I can gather some wetness and spread it up and over her ass. I push my finger in gently. This hole is so impossibly tight, and I don't want to hurt her. She gasps at the intrusion, then moans, low and sexy. If I wasn't sure the hallway was empty, I'd be worried someone would hear us. But I checked every room on my way down to her office to make sure. Her sounds make my dick pulse. I need you to come.